It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. For the third time in a little more than a decade, the state legislature is considering allowing a hunt for sandhill cranes. The state Senate Committee on Sporting Heritage held a public hearing on the bill yesterday.
Sandhills were nearly eliminated from Wisconsin a century ago, but the bird is a conservation success story, with its population growing to an estimated 110,000 in 2023 in the eastern part of the country.
That recovery hasn't gone unnoticed by farmers around the state. They're especially problematic for corn farmers in the spring. Wisconsin's corn and potato growers estimate the birds cause about $2 million in losses annually. Many farmers and lawmakers are calling for a hunt to manage the population.
And we'll hear from a conservationist in just a bit about what threats the bird still faces and what alternatives there are to a hunt. But first, we turn to Representative Paul Tittle, a Republican from Manitowoc, who is sponsoring a bill to create a sandhill crane hunt. And last year, Tittle chaired a Legislative Council study committee on sandhill cranes to review and recommend legislation on the management of the birds. Representative Tittle, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a great privilege.
You proposed this bill that would create a sandhill crane hunt. You also authored a bill to hunt cranes in 2021 that didn't advance. What is different about your bill this time around?
I think the biggest thing about the difference of this bill versus previous bills, we studied it very much in depth. Ledge Council Study Committee, we met over five times. We studied the habits, the habitats. We studied the sandhill cranes. We brought in U.S. Fish and Wildlife. We brought in people from the DNR. And it was a very comprehensive study. Nothing really ever gets done like that on a bill, usually just a regular bill that comes through our legislative offices.
How are your constituents being affected by cranes?
Well, the constituents are being affected. A lot of farmers have contacted us and basically told us that in the spring is the worst. And we had testimony yesterday talking about up to, I think it said 14 inches. They'll pull out the seed. And I know that there is a seed coating called Avapel. Mm-hmm. It is expensive and you can put it on. Well, actually, the farmer has to figure out how to put it on. Either they can put it on themselves or hire somebody else to put the coating on. The biggest problem we've heard when we had testimony from farmers was it wasn't that Avapel didn't work. They do not like seeds with Avapel on it, but they spit them out. So they could still, they'll go down a row and still destroy a lot of corn plants before they realize, wait a minute, this isn't a very good lunch for me today.
Hmm. Wisconsin is estimated to have about 51,000 sandhills. A management plan calls for a hunt when the population reaches 30,000 to 60,000. But then some conservationists fear that's too low. If a hunt greatly reduces the population, would you be in favor of ending it?
Well, first of all, I don't know where the information you're getting on 50,000 is, because we have a sandhill crane count of 2023 of over 110,000.
Which is in the eastern part of the country, of which Wisconsin is included in, yes.
We're in the eastern flyway, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so there is U.S. Fish and Wildlife actually regulates all of our hunting, so they would actually shut it down before I would even have to shut it down if there was ever a problem, because U.S. Fish and Wildlife will look at it every single year and determine. They do it the same thing with other migratory birds like geese and ducks and what have you. So every year they look up and they set standards and they set the bag limits on everything. So I'm not even concerned about whether I'll have to get rid of the sandhill crane hunt, because the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, if it was detrimental, and I'll tell you what, if it was detrimental to the sandhill cranes, I wouldn't want to be hunting them either.
Hmm. The state doesn't allow farmers to be compensated for crop losses unless a hunt is permitted, as you know. Why not change state law to allow compensation instead of pushing for a hunt?
Well, the compensation, and a lot of people don't understand this, this is not just general tax dollars that for the compensation for wildlife damage. Compensation for wildlife damage comes from people buying hunting and fishing licenses, and there's a surcharge on some, and that's where the money comes from. And so we would literally have to upend Wisconsin government, because I guarantee you, as soon as we start paying out for crane damage from our general fund, all the hunters and fishermen will say, well, why are we paying for it? You know, and they're not. So there is a balance. I don't think we could do that that way.
Would you have enough tax dollars to put into a claim fund to cover all of the farmers' losses from the cranes?
Well, it's only estimated now because they cannot get anything. They cannot get any reimbursement. So it's only estimated, and we will definitely take a look at that and make sure that we are compensating the farmers. I don't know exactly how the compensation works on deer and bear and turkey and all that other damage, but I guess it would probably have to be looked at very in-depthly.
Representative Tittle, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. And one last thing I would like to say is that Wisconsin's Constitution says that we have a right to hunt and fish. It's actually in Wisconsin's Constitution. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, that is a key thing that a lot of people don't understand is that U.S. Fish and Wildlife said we could have a hunt. Now we're trying to get a hunt, and the Constitution says we should be able to hunt.
That is Representative Paul Tittle, Republican, who represents Manitowoc Area District. Now for a different perspective, we turn to Ryan Michalesko, the Communications and Advocacy Specialist with the International Crane Foundation, which is based in Baraboo. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Sandhills have almost vanished from Wisconsin, but they've made this remarkable recovery. Why do they still need to be protected?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think the important thing is that we note that this was less than 100 years ago that famed conservationist Aldo Leopold estimated that there were 20 pairs or fewer sandhills left in Wisconsin. So while it's a conservation success story, that narrative can change rather quickly.
More than a dozen states, including our neighbor Minnesota, allow sandhill crane hunts. How are those hunts affecting the population?
Yeah, you know, this is something we hear a lot. And in fact, the matter is that 17 states do allow a hunt, but most of those states are in the Central Flyway, which is more than 10 times the size of that of the eastern population that we have here in Wisconsin. So a lot more birds to go around. The other thing that's really unusual is that Wisconsin's a critical breeding area. We're different than those states. In the eastern population, Tennessee, Kentucky, in Alabama have hunting seasons, but they're not breeding grounds. What we do here in Wisconsin in terms of these birds that are long-lived, they take a really long time to breed. They're not always successful at hatching and raising young, maybe one or two chicks a year, maybe none. And that's definitely a concern. The other thing I'll say is that the International Crane Foundation was founded more than 50 years ago. And for 30 of those years, we've been studying sandhill cranes here in Wisconsin in a long-term breeding area, long-term monitoring project, where we banned our sandhill cranes, and we really spend a lot of time monitoring them, learning their behavior, where they go, where they come from. And what we saw this year is a 32% reduction in the sandhill cranes that returned to that breeding ground. And in that same area, only one in five breeding territories produced a chick. So that's really concerning for us. We think the cause could be the highly pathogenic avian influenza that we're seeing. Probably about 4%, and that's likely an underestimation. Birds were lost in this population just this spring from the flu.
Farmers are currently unable to be compensated for crop losses unless a hunt is authorized. Are there better ways to protect the crops?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's non-lethal options, and I think that's what farmers are really looking for here is some help with those options. I think that we heard ample testimony, and I wish the representative would have stuck around to hear the DNR testimony yesterday, because we heard from the DNR representative, the migratory game bird biologist, that a hunt is not going to resolve spring crop damage, and a reminder, a hunt would occur in the fall, and also that a hunt would open that damage abatement program that the representative mentioned, but the DNR also said that a hunt on sandhill cranes would completely deplete that program for the farmers that are already receiving compensation for things like deer and turkey.
So if not a hunt, then what?
Yeah, you know, the governor put forward a really wonderful proposal in the spring that was going to be $3.75 million that would have gone directly to farmers to help them with this issue, a cost share. You know, they want skin in the game, too, and this would have helped them purchase that seed treatment and other abatement measures. However, that was really quickly stripped out of the budget, unfortunately. And what we see now is really, frankly, an abysmal approach to both of these bills. They operate at massive deficits. SB 112, as proposed, would lose $400,000 a year. That's the bill out of the study committee, and it has a lot of great things for farmers. But the other thing that we didn't hear a lot of yesterday is the proposed substitute amendment that's coming from Chair Staffschult of the committee. That bill strips out all of those great things for farmers and then would lose an additional $1.6 million. So the math really doesn't add up. This isn't a good bill for cranes, would risk the population, would put whooping cranes at a huge risk, and additionally, it's going to lose money and cost Wisconsin taxpayers.
Explain the threat there to whooping cranes, if there would be a hunt.
Yeah, you know, whooping cranes are also a remarkable species. There's fewer than 700 in the wild flock. And here in Wisconsin, we're really fortunate to have the reintroduced eastern migratory population, of which there are only about 70. Whooping crane numbers got very low at the same time as sandhill cranes, but even much lower than sandhills. That means we lost most of their genetic information that we're working really tirelessly to bring back. So If one whooping crane, which we have seen poached by a hunter or accidentally misidentified, is lost, that sets us back decades.
Wow. So could the crane population ever get large enough to warrant a hunt?
I think that's something that we have to wait and see. I mean, these are things that, of course, as the representative said, the Fish and Wildlife Service studies, but also the management plan that many of these decisions are based off of is 15 years out of date. So we need new information. We need to understand novel threats like avian influenza and how those impacts are affecting the population. You know, just in Europe in the last month, they've lost 40,000 or more Eurasian cranes, which are a very comparable species, both in the crop damages that they cause, but also in their biology and their spread. If we lost 40 or 50,000 sandhill cranes in the eastern population, that would be more than half the population in the matter of weeks.
Very quickly here, going back to what you said at the beginning, why is Wisconsin such a critical breeding ground? What makes us different?
Yeah, you know, we're very fortunate to have the wetlands that we have so successfully preserved, but at the same time, those wetlands in many cases bump up to the agricultural areas that used to be native grasslands, and that means that we have the perfect home for cranes to nest and raise their young, but that also means that that home is right next to the food source they also need.
Ryan, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Ryan Michalesko is Communications and Advocacy Specialist with the International Crane Foundation. And earlier, we heard from State Representative Paul Tittle, who proposed a sandhill crane hunting bill.